La, da, da, da. Music. Music for music. That's what I say. Just that soulful poet's voice right over those dulcet tones. You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, butchering the very first words I speak on it like a professional.
Happy Monday, man. Happy Monday.
Really? Really?
I mean, happy day of the week, the listeners listening.
I wanted to channel a little Diedrich Bader from Office Space. Has anyone ever asked if you're having a case of the Mondays? No, man. Shit, no. You get your ass kicked for saying that. God bless. PFpod.com. That is the website. Go there for a new episode of this glorious show every, Monday through Wednesday, whenever we get in studio for it. This one's getting recorded Monday afternoon in a bit of a pinch because our quote-unquote friend, our frenemy, Sue Bartholomew, will be coming in at 1 p.m. to record, and it's currently 12:15. So we're crunching this one out. Papa Football Pod on Twitter. Please give us a follow there. And every Thursday, visit pfpod.com for our power rankings. Howard pours his heart and soul into those, which I don't know if you really do, but I think you want to give that impression so your girlfriend thinks you're doing a lot with your life. I'm in a similar place.
More is less is our story with the power rankings.
Everything in life. Yeah. It's just, that's me with sex lately, too. It's just like, get a couple good thrusts at the right angle. Wipe your brow like a farmer who's tilled the field. Since the rooster crowed.
Assume she climaxed, because women's always do when...
It's a myth anyhow. You were... We're all good. So much injustice. Not just women not getting theirs in bed. So much injustice in the world today. Tonight. You know me. I'm a Redskins fan. I might have let that slip on air once or twice.
We're talking about your loser team playing another loser New York squad.
Hey, it's one, I'd like to shit on you for that, but I've tapped out as much as anyone on the season. What I saw last night has zero to do with the Redskins and everything to do with the integrity of the league, and that's not hyperbole on my part. You missed it. You tapped out at halftime, right?
I tapped out. It looked like an interesting game. Actually, Chris Collinsworth said before I tapped out that this looked like the best game of the season for so far on Sunday night,
which,
far as talking about the
Al
actual
Michaels
game.
Laughing promptly, but he's right. I know what you're saying.
It was close. It was looking fun. Like, you know, the Redskins jumped out 14-0, and then out of nowhere, Eli brings them back. It's a fun way to end the first half. If they had been two teams competing for playoff spots, I would have stayed up.
Oh, yeah. That's a killer, killer game if those teams mattered. They didn't. Still watchable, though. That was the quality of the game. Let me paint for you the end. I believe the Skins are down 17-24. They need a touchdown. They're out of timeouts. They're past the two-minute warning. It's like a minute 37.
Okay.
They're on maybe their own 40. Let's just say midfield.
Okay.
They throw a pass that, to everyone, anyone watching, is obviously short of the first down by like a yard, half yard at best. Shanahan goes, I want a spot, to the officials. The officials go, all good, dog, first down. The little orange marker thingies that have the numbers at the top reflecting the downs, they all flip to first down.
Right.
The Skins then go for like a five-yard pass, which turns out to be incomplete. By the way...
So they ran a play after that.
They run a play after this.
Okay.
So I believe that was a second down where they supposedly converted.
Okay.
So they run what is now a first down, incomplete pass, kind of just a fuck it type, let's get them out of bounds, 7-yard gain type thing.
Mm-hmm.
After that pass is run, I mean, no whistles, not a fucking thing. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
And not just because we're shitty fans. It was high drama. The officials run out. They're like, you know what? We fucked up on the spot. That was actually your third down, and now you're on fourth down.
Howard, really?
Never in my fucking life of watching this game has that happened. Is not the official rule. Did the next play get off? Bam, that's it. End of debate.
Here's the other problem that I have with, because I didn't watch this. This is first time you're like telling me the full story. You told me that there was bullshit with the officials before the show, but hearing what you just described, this reminds me of the fifth down play that happened in college football in the 90s. It was Colorado, Missouri. Anyway, what you do in this situation, you cannot tell the team that just believed they had second down that counted as third down and that it's now fourth. That's
your play selection is wildly different.
It's unacceptable for them to influence the way that play calling is made by suddenly.
And to anyone who thinks it isn't, here's a real easy hypothetical. You have fourth and one, you have first and 10. Do you make a different play call? So, yeah, downs and yardage matter just a wee bit in the game. Like,
second and five, third and five, fourth and five, come on. No, that's unacceptable.
So, all of a sudden, instead of a second and 10, they've got like fourth and three. They fuck up the pass, and that's the game. I think RG3 actually throws a pick, just for effect. I was stunned. And you know me, I've tapped out like so motherfucking hard on the Skins this year. I do not care. It's a bust. I love that they've given up what has turned out to be like a fucking 20th pick last year, I guess. Or no, we've got, this was the first year, and they gave up what, a 20th pick to St. Louis for RG3. This year, they're giving them like the third pick or something. Like, Christ all fucking mighty. St. Louis better do us a solid and like annihilate the Seahawks and the Niners for the next 7 to 10 years. Because that's the only way the RG3 trade is going to make sense. And then somehow we have the Rams number. Somehow. We help them build a juggernaut, but then we can contain that juggernaut in the postseason. Only then is the RG3 trade even okay. But coming back from that, Al Michaels loses his shit. Chris Collinsworth loses his shit. And I mean, they went on. This was like listening to me lose it. It was embarrassing. This is, to me, the culmination of a lot of bad ref work lately. The rules have gotten too complex. The refs do not know their own game. Fucking people still can't tell you what exactly a catch means. Like, do you, if you're going out of bounds with possession and then you're bobbling 2 yards out of bounds, did you have a catch? He was in bounds. The rules are too complex.
They are, because everybody got mad last year about that reception that Seattle had against Green Bay to win the game, where everybody was like, it's an interception, it's an interception. Yeah. I'm one of the few people, I think, who actually like went back to read the definition of what a catch was at that situation. I don't remember it anymore, of course, because it's too complicated. But I remember reading it and saying, you know, I wouldn't have called it as a catch. It looked like an interception to me. But if you read the rule book, he wasn't wrong. I mean, like, the rule is flexible enough that, like, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, and this shit needs to be simple and black and white. The rule book, anyone hearing about that now, they think it's like a stack of encyclopedias tall. I have no idea how big it actually is, but it's starting to sound arcane. Like, I can read it and cast a wizard spell. Like, that kind of length to it.
I mean, it's tough, especially with all the contact to the quarterback's knee, below the knee. I just found out something about horse collaring. So you're allowed to horse collar a quarterback in the pocket. Apparently, that's okay.
Yeah, there's a weird horse collar loophole. I've seen it before.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, for all the times that you cannot smack a quarterback in the head or like fall down at his knees, you can still grab him by the horse collar if he's in the pocket.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Just found that out.
I've known and forgotten that, but I have seen it apply. I swear on all things holy.
I only know that because Phil Sims is obviously going to be a guy who remembers that, because I think he got more than his fair share of horse collars. I love the old, by the way, like with the older quarterbacks who do these games.
The concussed ones?
I think they love it anytime there's a rule that the current quarterbacks get hit as hard as they used to. Because they're just like, fucking good.
I think they have to all be disgusted that all of their passing records are going to be obliterated because the league has changed.
Yeah, I mean, they're protecting guys where they're a little envious of the fact, like, you know, that would have been kind of nice when I was playing.
No shit.
Like, well, yeah.
It's like when you leave a job and then you learn that, like, as soon as you left, your asshole boss got fired and everyone's super nice now and everyone's getting raises. Everybody, may or may not have happened to me. I may not have left a job literally the day later they hire a new president who's like, things are going to change around here. And they did.
But to me, there's no excuse for referees exercising poor judgment. When they realize they had made a mistake, you have to own up to that mistake and let the game continue as was. You're going to get in trouble regardless today as referees. What they did was 10 times worse than if they had just let the play stand. I mean, Giants fans would be, like, validly pissed today had they let that call stand, even if it hadn't been a first down in that situation. But it's relatively minor compared to what actually happened, where you have a down lost when the coaches who were making the play call were under an incorrect assumption about what down it was.
Yeah. And not just that, brought up to the refs, like, are you sure this is first down, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's first. We are not even pulling out the spotting crew because it's a first down.
Wow. But let's talk Shanahan, because you keep talking about, like, he deserves to be fired, right? Like, isn't that the talk of the town these days? Like, even after last night?
I don't know, dude. I do not know. I now am operating under the assumption that, one, the trade was just dumb, period. Like, I'm always a draft pick hoarder now. Yeah. I've come full circle on that. I don't know if anyone's worth two first-round picks. I really don't.
Interesting.
Much less a pick. Like, a trade, I don't know, Peyton in his heyday maybe is worth several first rounds.
I think it could be worth it, especially, like, for the salary that RG3 is going to get. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for them to have traded for him, because it's not like he's tying up a lot of salary at this point.
But the dude's got an ego. He'll be asking for that cash sooner than later, especially if they have a good third year with him.
Well, that's the thing. I think he's probably gonna have a better third year and second year. It's just one of those things.
I don't think he can. Yeah, it'd be hard to have a worse year than this, honestly. Do I think Shanahan's sticking around is a different question than do I think he deserves to stick around. Honestly, the 2 years of cap penalty, dude, I'd like to see what he can field with a full roster.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what happens with 18 mil pumped into that team, because you know all 18 mil is getting spent.
Right.
We're not the fucking Bengals who are at a roster of 106 million because we want to be. It's not how Washington has built its teams. Do I think he'll be? That's rough, man. I really don't know. I don't know what the sexy coaching options coming out are. Chip Kelly having success in the division year one has to be kind of something hard for Dan Snyder to look at.
Well, that was a good roster before. They just had a terrible season last season. The year before that, relatively similar roster, they were pretty good. So,
yeah, I don't think anyone ever thought that they had a complete dog in Philly. But I don't think you would say there is a huge talent difference between what Philly had 2 years ago and what the Skins have like this year. And you're getting an $18 million infusion next year. Not a first-round pick infusion. Ha, 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 ha.
I mean, I'll say this. At one point in the season, they were both 3-5. Both those teams. So midway through the season, they're both at the same place. They're just, one is struggling, one is continuing to win, baby. Just win. So,
just win, baby, win. It's not all bad in the NFL, though. It's not all heartbreak. There's also maybe the funniest GIF file you'll ever see making the rounds today.
Okay, good, because these games are boring this weekend. I'll be honest.
Were you watching at all Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos? At Arrowhead, people thought Kansas would have its this is the best time Kansas City can have its revenge. It's the only time, barring a postseason meeting, and they lose.
It was the best game on Sunday on an night. So,
I didn't really care for the game. I tapped out. It looked like they were getting buried, the Chiefs. Apparently,
they were up at half.
They were, and then Denver just comes back. I think Decker had like four touchdowns where I'm just like, okay, this bitch is
35-21, but then, I mean, the Chiefs did have a chance to come back and tie it.
That's what I heard.
So,
during the national anthem, no Sean Marino, apparently a very patriotic lad, moved to tears. Here is footage of no Sean crying.
Yeah.
Here it comes. The GIF is going to restart any second now. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, restart. Okay. Here he is. He's looking up. Bam. Look at that one stream jetting out of the right eye.
Yeah, just two solid tears, man.
Now, look at the jet. Please don't downplay. Those are not tears. That's like Peter North tear ducts. The guy is a physical freak. I guess if you're that strong, maybe you have superhuman tear ducts, too. He must come like a shotgun. Like, if a woman takes his seed within her cervix, must look like a pudding hurled against a concrete wall. It must be internal organ damage city.
I had honestly
Princess
assumed
Di had more intact organs than a woman who has unprotected sex.
Wow.
With no Sean.
I saw him do that, and I assumed that by the end of the game, it must have been because he was doing some sort of commemoration to someone he knows in the army or military. Because
maybe.
He did an army crawl on his last first down of the game. It was basically the one that clinched the game.
Oh.
Where he basically did an army crawl after he had this beast run. And so to me, I was like, what is this guy about? I guess he's like that patriotic.
He knows someone military. You could absolutely be right. All I'm saying is I didn't realize tears would come out commensurate with how much pain you're feeling. Wow. So like maybe he knew an entire platoon that just got blown up that I'm unaware of, because just look up No Sean Marino crying.
Yeah. Although
we'll post it on the site too.
If I understand correctly, this is a year to the week that the Chiefs did have a player kill himself like on site last season. So there was a suicide committed in front of like half the coaching staff, and I think there might have been a couple players.
I forgot the dude. He like killed his girlfriend, right? And he had a little baby with her. I forgot the dude's name, but yeah, he kills his girlfriend, drives to the practice facility,
thanks everybody, and shoots himself in the head. Yeah.
Like to thank you for them reps, coach. Boom!
Yeah. So Romeo Crennel will never coach in the NFL again. Somebody did an interview with him where like they didn't even really interview him. He just texted the person back after they called and said it's too soon. Just enjoying life now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, who knows? Like these guys are all in a fraternity together. It might have been something like that too.
I don't know. All I do know is we're going to go through the rest of the games real fast.
No, see, this is the problem, man. What? Like all these games suck. There were two games between teams with winning records. Let me tell you what happened this weekend. Only game at 1 o'clock on Sunday night. Okay, Thursday games are different. Thanksgiving games we'll get to in a sec. Sunday games.
I was going to say the Thanksgiving games, some cool shit happened.
Well, worth the time, but Sunday games were especially disappointing after watching college football on Saturday. I know don't watch college, but
I know of it. I've heard things. I actually, even if I wanted to, and I might have on Saturday, I had to work, and I recorded a Papa's Basement that's currently on inpapasbasement.com with like no pictures or nothing. It's literally just a raw data link. It's like, download this. This is so iTunes can detect you.
But no, like that, it was amazing. There were a couple amazing games.
There's like Auburn, Alabama.
Auburn upset Alabama on a final second field goal attempt by Alabama that fell short.
Yeah.
Guy in the back of the end zone returned it for a touchdown, game-winning touchdown.
And they say, this is why college is better than NFL. Why? Because your kickers suck?
Because your special teams can't tackle? Yeah. Because as they were saying, like,
why don't I just watch fucking Pop Warner then? and like see the kid who's actually hit puberty before all the others look like an unstoppable gargantua.
It was bizarre because, yeah, like they just had a bunch of big bodies out there for Alabama just ready to block because you don't want to get your field goal blocked. Second, you have a guy with NFL speed in the back of the end zone running. I mean,
he's gone.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Minnesota just did this on Sunday, by the way. I watched the end of the Minnesota game.
I didn't have a chance. By the way, I'm smelling myself. But I was at Men's Warehouse yesterday, and I have Usher cologne on, a sample. That is a pungent brew.
That return play hasn't worked since the Ravens pulled it off a few years ago. And they did by deceit.
What's his face? Devin Hester did it one time.
Oh, did he? Okay, that's right. He did it too. So you've had it happen a couple times in the NFL, but it's guys who have a degree of difference separating them from everybody else in the NFL.
I remember Hester did it, not to interrupt. He grabs it, and like you said, there's some deceit to it. He kind of just saunters for like 5 feet. Like,
and then boom!
No big deal. Yeah. I just got a ball. Ka-twang. Yeah.
That's how the Ravens did it. But yeah, like when Minnesota tried it at the end of regulation yesterday on Sunday, it didn't work. Guy went maybe 30 yards. It looked pretty good. He did a pretty good job. But no, these are professional tacklers. It's not going to happen. So anyway, Saturday's games were badass. It was in addition to the Alabama upset. You had Ohio State almost lose to Michigan. Michigan sucks this year.
Well, they were like way up, right? And then it was 42-41 final score. So I'm guessing there's some sort of furious comeback.
What was great was, anyway, there was a couple turnovers that let Michigan get back in the game. It was a last-second attempt at a two-point conversion for the win because Michigan knew they couldn't stop Ohio State. Ohio State basically was scoring every time they didn't turn the ball over. So they went for two at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Which is pretty baller.
They didn't get it. And then they lose.
You would never see that in the pros.
No, you wouldn't. And it was the wrong move.
No, it wasn't. Because I'm telling man.
Politically, it was the wrong move, Howard. Because now that guy, the coach, looks like a horse's ass. No one's going to stick up for him.
No. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. And he can't say this about his team. I was just watching that game. And on offense, I was like, they will never, ever, ever stop Ohio State on offense.
Yeah, of course they won't. It doesn't matter. Everyone's going to walk away from that saying, why did he do it?
No, absolutely not. You do not watch college football, and it's really obvious because they were such a huge underdog. Michigan sucks this year. So for them to like sneak in a quick victory against a team they shouldn't beat, I think people are fine with it. But at this point, like, after those games, Sunday was sucked. Only two NFL games worth watching probably were Philly playing Arizona. Those were two teams competing for a playoff spot.
I watched that one. It's like the Cards gave it away.
Yeah. Not
a
great game.
It really felt that way.
Not a great game.
It was just too many turnovers. They're down, I think, 17 going into the third quarter. And I watched it, and they got, I think they scored a touchdown. And I kind of tapped out by the end. But it was just too, it was too fucking sloppy by Arizona.
I watched that game, and I was like, okay, I'm supposed to believe one of these teams could beat Seattle, New Orleans. I'm not even sure these teams could beat, like, the Lions at this point. Yeah, I mean, it's they're not looking as good as the 49ers. I'm not even sure why that's the best game at 1 o'clock. You know, to me, that's pathetic. There wasn't a single team.
Bears-Vikings went OT.
That was kind of exciting if you like watching shitty teams play.
Are you okay with that? Shitty teams, but a good game?
Sometimes. I turned off the Redskins playing the Giants, though, because why? I had to wake up early-ish today.
I had video games to play.
There's other shit to do sometimes.
Meat Boy beaten, 100%, by the way.
The only reason I watched the end of the Bears-Vikings game is it was on Red Zone because it was exciting.
Yeah.
But the reality was, like, those 1 o'clock games, there wasn't a single upset.
Well, going through legitimate real fast, upset. Titans get dropped by Colts. You were saying that if the Titans had managed to win, they were, what, one game out, but now they're firmly kind of... No, wait. Had the Titans won, they would have been 6-6. Colts would have been 7-5. Yeah, one game out.
But now that's done.
Now they're done. Yeah. Dolphins trounce the Jets. The Jets have just said fuck it to their cute little win one, lose one game. Geno Smith is garbage.
I'll tell you, though, like with the 5-7 teams, there are only 2 6-6 teams. One of them's the Dolphins, one of the Ravens. Their schedules are not that easy, so don't assume that one of those two is going to get that last wild card spot. Frankly, the Jets, if they can figure out the quarterback situation, have the easiest schedule of any of those 5-7 teams, they could really pull it out.
That's interesting. I hadn't analyzed that. And I'm not trampling that. I mean that. I kind of just,
it's
like,
hard to
records
believe.
Higher.
Because I heard him on SportsCenter saying, like, oh, the Jets are still competing for a playoff spot. I was like, go fuck yourself. There's no way. And I looked at their schedule is pretty favorable.
Yeah.
The hardest game I think they have is a rematch with Miami.
If you want to know how things dire are for the Redskins, the Bucks losing and the Jaguars winning bring both of them to 3-9, tied with your Washington Redskins. So... could we have used the third pick in the draft this year? I don't know. Just maybe. Just maybe. Would you rather have Tannehill and two first-rounders to be spent on sexy receivers? Maybe a big ugly? Maybe a cornerback? Just maybe. Just putting it out there. Anytime I see Tannehill play, and this is not viewed through the prism of I wish we had him in the picks, anytime I see that guy play, I like him. I know he's just prototypical white boy pocket passer shit. You know what? That's what I like.
False. He can run, man.
He can. Exactly. That's what I'm... just because he's pocket-based and then can run, he can run. I'm not saying he's Steve Young or any shit, but, like, I don't know if there's a lead-legged quarterback in the league now. It's just the guys who kind of choose to be...
there's Peyton and Tom.
The old fucking men.
They never could run. Are you kidding?
Well, they're from a different generation. I'm saying now, even the white guys can run. They just choose to do it second. They're still more pocket passer, but Luck can take off. Alex Smith can take off.
Smith runs the ball a fair amount, actually.
Yeah.
Because he can't really throw the ball.
That's true. It's like a better Tebow. Rams have ceased to have that awesome magic that they had in the West last year. They get dropped again by the 49ers. Bengals, Chargers. That's not good for the Chargers. Bengals now 8-4, pretty firmly
in
control of the North.
What's interesting with the North, going back to these Thanksgiving games, you're going to see, I think, the Steelers still stay in it. I mean, believe it or not, I think the Ravens' schedule, like, remaining is too difficult. I think that they're going to end up losing one, if not two, because they got to finish against Cincinnati as well as... played New England the week before that, so
those are two tough games.
Yeah, and then I think the Steelers do have to play the Bengals as well one more time, but yeah, it's going to be hard for anybody else in that division to catch up with the Bengals, and yet for anyone to say that the Ravens clinched a wild card spot over the Steelers with that win on Thursday night, that was a good game, man. I mean, like, they have a leg up.
It was
in
a great game. That was watchable as hell. Packers Lions, I so tapped out on. You know it's bad when everyone's game summary is the Lions won 40-10 and it wasn't as close as the score would make it seem. You're like, it's, God damn.
It's so frustrating because that would have been an awesome game had Rodgers been
of course,
in the lineup.
It would have been amazing.
These games were so terrible on Sunday. I look back at the schedule and was like, that would have been the only good other game. It would have been that and the Ravens would have been the two best games this weekend.
I mean, the goddamn Packers are like on par with the Colts. That year they had Manning just gone and Curtis Painter was sucking shit up left and right.
Yeah, their GM just should be fired. He ruined the
dude,
season.
Head's got to roll after that.
Yeah.
You cannot just lean on one dude.
It's basically, it's the Lions division now. They just handed it to him. It's not even, I mean, the Lions, I don't know. They're a good
team.
They're
game up on everyone, and they have the tiebreaker on the Bears. So they're like technically two games up, I guess, on the Bears. And Minnesota and the Packers sure as hell aren't catching them. So it's just those two, and Lions got to get very cold to drop it to the Bears.
So, I don't know. It was a shitty weekend, man. What can I say? Like, college football was way more interesting. I just got to say, like, I do appreciate that the fact I'm one of the few people who doesn't want a playoff system for college football because I like how much pressure is put on games like this past weekend. Alabama just had its season ruined by one game.
I'm not big on that. I think that's too damn brutal, honestly.
Oh, it's, I mean, like, you can still win your conference, you know? Like, you're playing for conference titles. It's there's so many teams. You should be happy with conference titles. You just can't be a little shit about
it. They got dropped to what? Alabama, four?
Four.
And then, what, Auburn's three, Ohio's two, and Florida's one?
Florida State's one.
Why do I know that? For a guy who doesn't know college ball, lick these, Howard. Lick these. You want to just get to the games to come then? It's an interesting slate, as it tends to be near the end of the year, especially the way that the NFL has staggered divisional games at the end where things really matter. Sorry, I was waiting for you to jump in. You're screwing off on your iPad.
Well, I'm trying to get the schedule up for
oh, you didn't punch upcoming. That up already?
I had last week's scores up.
Pedro,
excuse
preparation
me.
Over here. I got both up.
Well,
you
here,
want
let
me,
to me
flip between the two tabs. Look at me. I'm a Superman.
Obviously, the game of the week for the week that just happened is
tonight
when Seattle plays New Orleans. But the reality is with that game, all that's going to tell us is if New Orleans can win in Seattle.
More or less, yes. Is it worth tuning into this game when it happens in 5 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, the reality is at this point, we might see the Saints not even win the division.
Absolutely.
So that,
because next week they are having the first of their two matchups. They're hosting the Panthers, who are coming on strong as hell.
Sunday night, baby. That's a high quality primetime game.
Is it a Sunday night game?
It's the only primetime game worth watching, yeah. Because Monday
are
night.
Are you sure? It's listed as a 1 p.m. right here.
No, it got flexed, I think.
Did it get flexed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sports Illustrated, you're awesome for making me look like a horse's ass. How about you keep up on things?
No, I went with ESPN, man. They got it listed on NBC 8:30 next week.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you because guess what blockbuster was initially slated for this Sunday night?
It had to be the Skins and somebody, didn't
let,
it?
Let all who... No, the Skins have already lost all five of their primetime games this year, sir. Perfect. Perfect again. Let anyone who thinks you can plan in this league and not look like a horse's ass, your Sunday night matchup would have been the Atlanta Falcons playing in Lambeau.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you barf. Shove that turd to 1 p.m. toot sweet.
Barf.
You get that done fast.
But yeah, so people, the only primetime game worth watching this week is Panthers Saints. Because Monday night you got Cowboys Bears. Don't watch that. Play with your kids. I don't know.
Do something.
I shit you not, watching Red Zone last night at the very end with a straight face, the guy said, "Hey guys, check out Thursday night's game. We're gonna see the Texans play the Jaguars for the number one overall pick next draft." Straight face. I was like, you gotta
it's
be
true.
Fucking kidding me, man.
It's true, man.
I mean, I'm not a big
are they
guy.
Tied record wise or at this point the Texans have or down a game, right?
If the Texans win, they'll be tied in record with the Jags.
Okay.
So.
Wow. So the Texans are literally the worst in the league right now, right?
Yeah. And they barely lost to New England. So.
Good.
They
God.
Barely lost to New England.
Good God, man. They're a year removed from what again?
Divisional title.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not bad. And they're not getting their asses blown out.
Yeah.
There was a couple when they kept giving these pick sixes up, but no, man.
What a fucking game of coin flips it truly is. I've got listed for the next week's games section, Panthers at Saints. We covered that.
Top game, yeah.
Colts at Bengals at 1 p.m.
That's interesting because those are the two mediocre division leaders that I don't think will make it out of the AFC.
Exactly.
I would sooner pick the sixth seed. I shit you not. The sixth seed out of the AFC. Whoever that second wildcard team is, I would sooner have them in the AFC title.
Bengals are like the Lions. They're the fucking Lions of the AFC, dude. They're inconsistent on their good days. You're like, see, if we could only keep doing this, we could take the Lombardi. The problem is you're not.
Don't talk about Lombardi. Let's talk about the AFC. I don't see the Colts or Bengals being able to beat New England or Denver. I just don't see it. And so I'd rather see.
There's nothing to see. They wouldn't.
I'm more excited to see one of these like shit teams that's 5-7 get hot and show up 9-7 at Mile High and fuck up Peyton Manning. I think that's more likely than either of those teams winning in Denver.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. You've also got Lions at Eagles. Again, two division leader. Well, I guess Eagles are technically second place due to tiebreakers at the moment. But does anyone think they're not winning the East?
I mean, because they're playing against Dallas in the last game of the season. So that's the real tiebreaker.
Yeah, we all know how that script plays out. And we all know it won't change. And this little Redskins fan doesn't mind that so much. Dolphins at Steelers. Kind of interesting. If Dolphins can keep it up, they pretty much knock the Steelers out of the wild card.
And they put themselves in a pretty solid position.
Simultaneously give themselves quite the little platform for making a case for themselves. And last but not least, Seattle at San Francisco, 4 p.m. Sunday.
That to me is the most exciting game because either of those teams have a legitimate shot at the NFC title this year.
Yeah, at this point, 49ers like absolutely cannot catch Seattle, correct? Like,
they can still learn to beat them on the road, I'll say that.
Hold on, let me look up their records real fast. Prep. 8-4 and 10-1. I know that one. Okay, so if they get dropped to 10-2, 8-4.
Look, defending conference champs are the 49ers. They got no problem going on their own and winning three games to win the NFC.
Yeah.
The thing with them that's different, I've been giving them shit all season. What I liked when I saw them play yesterday against the Rams was the reappearance of Michael Crabtree. It is giving that passing offense a lot more confidence. So I think it's going to make a big, big difference in the weeks ahead. I think you're going to see a team that really can compete to make it to the Super Bowl again. So, but well, yeah, that's to me, that game is probably as good as the Panthers-Saints next week. Those are the two games to watch. Everything else, I think, is garbage.
Secondary. So. Oh, and last but not least, Tomlin sitting on the sideline almost tripping a Raven, doing a kickoff return.
It'll be interesting if they actually lose a draft pick on that. Did you hear that rumor?
That's no rumor. I mean, they'll penalize the team any way they see fit for that kind of bullshit.
It's supposed to be a six-figure fine for sure.
Yeah, it'll be easily 100K.
But the real question is, are they going to lose like a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick for that? That would be brutal for a team that absolutely needs to rebuild.
That is just devastated.
You don't want that many undrafted free agents showing up in your rookie class. You just don't.
I don't know, man. It was funny. The way they're trying to play it off, it's the guy obviously knew where he was. Simple as that. He lives on football sidelines.
I just appreciate the Ravens were all disappointed in Jacoby Jones for not just like plowing into that old man.
He's not old. He's like 40.
Dude, you underestimate. Black don't crack. Like, he's older than you think.
I know. But he's a young dude. He's like at oldest 40.
I thought he was in his 50s. No.
Who, Tomlin?
Yeah.
Okay, right now I'm looking this up to make you look like a horse's ass. Because that'll be the show highlight to me. Mike Tomlin is 41.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you totally got to. He can take a hit. Come on, man.
He's like barely removed from player's age, dude.
All right.
He can still hang with like a Grammatica. I think they're still in the league, right? Oh, man.
He's younger than some kickers in the league.
That's
terrible.
Truly is. Well, that music means we're out of here. Right? We did a good show?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was good, verging on great.
Good for, you know, again, like, this was not a great week of football for the NFL. I think, next week's going to be better, but I think it's going to be eclipsed again by the fact that we're going to know what the college football national championship game is going to be. So
there's an expression for what we did. From lemons, lemonade. Ta-da. You've made it through Papa's football podcast. Good for you. Achievement unlocked. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. PF Pod is the show's website. Go there for our iTunes subscription link. That is the most important thing you can do if you're a fan of the show. Tell your friends, because they're going to enjoy it. We say naughty words. We have the occasional insight. But more than anything, do that iTunes subscription. Give us a rating. Say we're great. Me personally, also find inpapasbasement.com. I put two of my shows up there every week as well, just a humorous show, not football-based. Find that on iTunes as well, Papa's Basement. Not In Papa's Basement, just find Papa's Basement. And last but not least, The Spookies comic I write. Howard, anything to plug on your end?
Not today, my friend. Just glad to be here.
How deep? How deep?